Welcome to the Man in the Mirror Bible Study Podcast. Today we are continuing our series, looking at the 12 apostles. Next up for us is Nathaniel, also known as Bartholomew. And we turn it over now to Brett Klemmer, president of Man in the Mirror.
This morning, I love the book of John. How many of you love the book of John? I love the book of John. It's such a unique perspective on what a gospel is, on what the good news is, because it was written a little bit later than the first three gospels that we have, and Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts were all written earlier than this. And so John has this sort of a little bit of an ability to look back more reflectively and think about, you know, probably had Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and so he's looking at those books, and he's thinking, what else do we need to tell the followers of Jesus? What else? We're gonna make it fit, but we want to think about what didn't get shared in that first go round with those guys, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in those synoptics, and so we get some fresh perspective and some new stories that we didn't get. And John says at the end, like we couldn't tell all the stories. There's so much that happened in this 3 years. It would take books and books and books to fill it. And so the disciples gave us the high points, the pictures that helped us understand Jesus, helped us understand the gospel the best. And so I love John as he helps to do that. So we're going to be in John 1. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn and open to John chapter 1. And we're going to start at verse 43. And today, we're going to talk about Nathanael. Now, there's some interesting ideas about who exactly was Nathanael. So, let me give you a little bit of history. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and Acts, Nathanael is not listed. Bartholomew is listed. But in John lists Nathanael. And so, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Acts, you get also this pairing, Philip and Bartholomew. Philip and Bartholomew, and they're always paired. In John, Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus. This is the passage that we're going to look at this morning. So some people, many people think that Bartholomew and Nathanael are the same guy. Bartholomew is not a first name, it's a last name. So it would be like in one list, me sort of listing all these guys at this table up here and then saying, and Hollingsworth's there. And then another time, I would talk to some people that maybe knew these guys well, and I'd say, oh, Thomas was there. Tom was there. And the people would know, oh, well, that Hollingsworth is Tom. Tom is Hollingsworth. That could be what it means. Bartholomew means son of Tolmai, which we sort of anglicize into Bartholomew. And so was Nathanael Bartholomew? I don't know. In my opinion, probably. In some commentators' opinions, no. But John MacArthur says yes. So we're going to go with Johnny Mac today. And we're going to say, yeah, that he probably was. So then the next thing about Nathanael is the church tradition of Bartholomew, which is going to be attached to Nathanael. And Bartholomew is known or is thought to have gone to India, probably with Thomas, may have gone with Thomas to India and then to Armenia. But, you know, all these guys, except for John, died a martyr's death. And Bartholomew, Bartholomew takes the cake. He was flayed alive. He was skinned alive. And then beheaded, because I guess skinning him alive wasn't enough. And then beheaded. And so he's the patron saint of leather makers. Yeah, that's a manly thing right there, right? So you're flayed alive, so they make you the patron saint of leather makers. That's like, whoa, right? I mean, golly. So Pat and I were talking about it this week. Pat said, yeah, none of these disciples did a good job taking their pensions. You know, they all just went for it, and they all died in the service of Christ. So this is who we have. So Nathanael in John chapter 1, verse 43, we have the story of Jesus calling Philip and Nathanael to be disciples. So let me read this to you. I'm going to read this passage to you, and then we're going to go through it over the next few minutes. We're going to go through it in pretty good detail here, all right? So verse 43, the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You'll see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this passage. Father, thank you so much for this, the history of these 12 disciples, these men who followed you. And then once you were crucified and died and were resurrected and ascended, they exploded. They went everywhere that you sent them to go to share the good news of redemption, of the redemptive relationship that the Father has with his people. And so, Lord, we pray that you would teach us through this passage today something that will help us as we live our lives for you, for your glory, for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's look at this passage, and we're going to jump into this first item here. Here's my question for you. What are your prejudices? What are your prejudices? Now, you might say, well, you call me a racist? Yeah. Yeah, a little bit. Am I calling you a bigot? Yeah, a little bit. Am I calling you prejudiced? Yeah, a little bit. Like, we all have presuppositions. We all have beliefs. We all have thoughts that come to our mind when we see something or someone that brings up some kind of thought in our mind. Maybe it's an experience that we had. Maybe it's a teaching that we have. Maybe it's the example of our parents or the example of the community that we were brought up in. But we all have these things in our heart because we are fallen, because we are tainted by sin. Every single one of us is tainted by sin. There's no part of, you're not walking around doing evil things all the time, but there's no part of you that's not tainted in some way by the effects of sin. And so we all have these little things in our heart. And then we say, well, you know, I've been a Christian for a long time. Like, I love Jesus. I love everyone. Like, I have the love of Jesus for everyone. I don't have any negative thoughts about anyone. I study my Bible all the time. I go to church. I have friends that are different than me. I'm fine. I'm good. All that's gone from me. And I just think you're wrong. Like, I don't think any of us have that. And I think this passage gives us a really interesting insight into that. So let's look at the passage. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of Moses in the law. I'm sorry, him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." So quickly, what is this saying? First of all, Philip probably knew Andrew and Peter. Why mention it if he didn't know them? So he knew Andrew and Peter. These are not big towns, okay? So he knew Andrew and Peter in this town of Bethsaida. And then Philip found Nathanael. Why would Philip go find Nathanael? What were Philip and Nathanael? Anyone? Friends, right. They were friends. And what does Philip say to Nathanael? Hey, it's that guy. It's that Messiah that Moses and in the law and the prophets, so what's he saying? Basically the whole Old Testament, it's this, we found the Messiah. Why would Philip go to Nathanael and say, well, we found the Messiah? Like what would prompt that conversation? Like if I was back up in Boston and I said, and I found my friend Doug, and I said, Doug, I found that jersey. I found that vintage number 33 Larry Bird jersey. Why would I talk to him about that? Probably because we both had an interest in it, right? We're both Celtics fans. We're both Larry Bird fans. We're both, you know, we both love the Celtic green, you know, and the Shamrocks and all that stuff. We had that as a basis of our friendship. Well, Philip and Nathaniel had this as the basis of their friendship. They studied the scriptures together. Otherwise, why is this the first thing that he talks to Nathaniel about? So Nathaniel was a student of the Old Testament. Philip was a student of the Old Testament. And so when Philip says to Nathaniel, we found him. We found the Messiah. And then he goes, and you're not going to believe this. You know Joseph the carpenter? It's his kid. That's the guy. That guy Joseph the carpenter from Nazareth. And Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Now, most of the commentators, when they look at this language, it's not like just snooty, like, you know, I live in Heathrow and you live in Sanford. Can anything good come from Sanford? You know, it's not snooty. It's actually sort of a racially charged or bigoted statement. It might be the way that we would say, some of us, oh, they come from a little, you know, town in Appalachia. And you're like, can anything good really come from Appalachia? And like your brain goes to like brothers and sisters marrying, and like your brain goes to that. If you think about Appalachia and you think about inbreeding, that's prejudice. You are prejudging somebody. You are assuming something, or at least sort of buying into a little picture of what things are like, and we all do it. And so this is Nathaniel. He's a regular guy like all of us. And he says this statement, this guy who loves the scriptures well enough that Philip could say, hey, we found the Messiah, loves it well enough that the first words out of his mouth is a prejudice statement. This is how we meet Nathaniel. So you're thinking like, wow, this guy, I mean, man, he's like Peter, right? Like putting his foot in his mouth. He must have a problem with you know, Galilee, you know, to Galilee was to Jerusalem sort of like, you know, how the media, especially the northern media, sort of covers the south. You know, we're all hicks, missing teeth, and you know what I'm talking about? Spitting tobacco and... Like that's how the people in Jerusalem looked at the people in Galilee. They're sort of the backwoods hicks. When Peter was in the garden of the high priest during Jesus' trial, it was his accent that gave him away, right? So they're all sitting there talking about Jesus in the trial, and Peter's like, "Hey y'all, how you doing?" Right? And they're like, "You're from Galilee, aren't you?" And he's like, "Nope, I'm not. I ain't from Galilee, you know." So take that now, and now you've got like Nathanael's from Galilee. And here's the other thing we know. Nathanael's from Cana. We find that out in John 20. Nathanael's from Cana. Cana's a smaller town than Nazareth is. So like, really, dude? Right? And now, here's the other part of this, though. The other reason that Nathanael would say this is that Nazareth is not in the Old Testament anywhere. So when Philip says, hey, we found the Messiah, he's Jesus of Nazareth. He's like, no. The scriptures clearly say Bethlehem. And we just know Jesus is from Nazareth. These guys just knew Jesus was from Nazareth because that's where he grew up. And so how cool is that? That like you've got these guys are like, no, the Messiah's going to, this can't be the Messiah. He's from Nazareth. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Besides, Nazareth isn't even in the Old Testament prophecies. And I know the prophecies. But right, because Jesus came from Bethlehem to Nazareth. So you see how all this fits together. It's really a cool story, the way it all fits together. So we've got Nathanael. This is his first words. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip says, come and see. And then watch this. Jesus saw Nathanael and he said, Jesus sees Nathanael coming towards him and he says, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Now, what do you think when you hear, can anything come out of Nazareth? And you hear that that's kind of a charged statement. And then the next thing that Jesus says is there's no deceit. A true Israelite, there is no deceit found in this man. Well, you got to understand what deceit is. Deceit is not like wickedness. It's a part of it, but it's not like global wickedness. It's not, deceit is not about prejudice. Deceit is about cheating. Deceit is about trickery. And so when Jesus looks at Nathanael and he says, there's no trickery in this guy. Like he just tells it like it is. And so we see this man that there's no deceit found in his mouth. And then he also says he's a true Israelite. What does that mean? Well, in the passage, as we go on, and I'm gonna like jump back and forth here, okay? So in the passage as it goes on, Jesus says, "I saw you under the fig tree." And that's symbolic. A lot of times students would sit under fig trees. Why? Because fig trees, they grow up, but then about 10 feet up, the branches spread out. And so in an arid landscape like Galilee, that would be a shady place. And so people would sit under and read. So Jesus is like, "I saw you under the fig tree." He says, "You're an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." But then he says at the end, "You will see greater signs than this," right? "You will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." Do you know what he's alluding to when he says angels ascending and descending? Anyone? Y'all wrong. He's talking about Genesis. He's talking about Jacob's ladder. All right. What was Jacob's name that God gave him?
Israel.
"Look, an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Why would he say there's no deceit? Turn over to Genesis. We're going to go to Genesis 26 or 27. I'll know when I get there. Oh, I'll know when I get to the little. So Genesis 27 is the story of Jacob and Rebecca, Jacob's mother, cheating Esau out of his blessing. Now Esau claims that Jacob cheated him out of his birthright. Jacob didn't cheat him out of his birthright. Esau's stomach was more important to him than his birthright, and so he gave that away for a bowl of food, right? But Jacob did trick his father Isaac into giving him the blessing that basically put him over, like made him the heir of the family, and actually put Esau under Jacob. That was prophesied when Jacob and Esau were twins, paternal twins. Then that was prophesied over their mom when the younger one would rule over the older one. And so Jacob comes out holding his brother's heel. And do you know what the word Jacob means? Deceiver or cheater. Deceiver. An Israelite, a Jacob, but one in whom no deceit is found. Imagine the Messiah looking at you and saying that about you. What must that have done? To Jacob's heart, to Nathanael's heart, to have Jesus look at him and say, "You're an Israelite. You are of Jacob. You're truly of Jacob. But you have no deceit." And how that must have called Nathanael to a higher place. And so Nathanael sees Jesus. Jesus says this about Nathanael. Nathanael goes, "How do you know it's me?" And Jesus says, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And like this, Nathanael goes, "Wow, I mean, you really are the Messiah. You really are the King of the Jews. You're the one that we've been looking for. You're the one that we've been reading about. And so Nathanael says this, and Jesus says back to him, because I said to you, you were under the fig tree, you believe? Like, it's just because I saw you under a tree? But it's probably more than this. Because if you have this allusion at the beginning to Jacob and to Israel and no deceit, and so Jacob, and then at the end, you have this allusion to Jacob's dream about the ladder or the stairway going up and down to heaven, right? Not the Led Zeppelin song, but the story in the Genesis. Wow, nobody here is a Led Zeppelin fan? Come on. Don't play it backwards. Nobody under 50 got that joke. It's awesome. It's great. Young guys, ask the old guys. They'll tell you about it. So he alludes to this stairway to heaven or this ladder to heaven. So a lot, you know what a lot of commentators think? What was Nathanael sitting under the tree doing? They think maybe he was reading Genesis 28:10-22, the story of Jacob laying down on the ground and having the dream. And so you see how Jesus like pulls all this together. He banks on the fact that that Nathanael knew the scriptures. And because Nathanael knew the scriptures, it made him know who Jesus was. Let me say that again. Because Nathanael knew the scriptures, it made him know who Jesus was. Guys, if you know the scriptures, you will recognize Jesus when you see him. You will recognize his voice when it talks to you. And when he tells you who you are, like he told Nathanael who he was, you will want to live into that identity. That's the lesson of Nathanael. And when we look at Nathanael, we see a guy that had doubt. So in your table talk time, the second question is there. I want you to compare this passage to John 20:24-29. That's the story of Thomas. When you compare those passages, I think you'll find some interesting similarities. But for now, let's just look at what Jesus said about the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. And what did he mean by that? So if you go back to Genesis again, the next chapter, we were in 27, so now we're going to look at 28. And verse 10, let me just read it to you. Jacob left Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he came to a certain place and stayed there that night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones of the place, he put it under his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, there was a ladder or a stairway set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring will be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. All right, pause for a second. Verse 14, your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth. Does that sound familiar? Do you remember what he said to Abraham? Stars in the sky, right? Now we have dust in the earth, grains of sand on the beach. Like, God is saying, I'm going to bless the world through you. In your thinking, it's going to be like as many stars as you can see in the sky, or as much as all the particles of dust on the earth, or as all the grains of sand on the beach. That's the level of blessing. That's the way I'm going to grow my blessing to my people through you. And who would that come through? That would come through Christ. That would come through Jesus Christ. That descended through the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and into the house of Israel, and then eventually one day in a little dusty town in Palestine, the Son of God will be born to a virgin in an animal pen during a census when there was no room anywhere else. And that baby would grow up, grow in in stature and in knowledge. He would stump the priests in the temples at 12. He would heal sick people. He would forgive sins. He would multiply bread and fish. He would open up the scriptures, and he would bring insight that threw off the yoke of religious tyranny that the Pharisees had placed the people under. And then down through now 20 centuries, the people of God are like stars in the sky and like dust, and we're all part of that. And all of that is in the scriptures. All of that is here, guys, for us to find. Behold, I am with you, God says, and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And then he takes that stone that he put his head on, and he sets it up as a marker, and he anoints it with oil, which is sort of an Old Testament way of marking something, and that place becomes Bethel, Beth-El, the place of God, Elohim. It's a beautiful story. And when Jesus says to Nathanael just a couple simple sentences about an Israelite indeed in whom no deceit is found, and you think this is cool, wait, just wait. Because then what he says is, you will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Well, what does that mean? Go to John 14:6. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so Jesus is once again giving this picture of, just like that stairway was the way from earth to heaven that the angels went up and down, that now Jesus is that way, and through Jesus we will go one day to be with the Father. It's amazing the intricacies and the unspoken truth that underlies all of this. Because when you read the New Testament, don't just read it at the surface level. You gotta figure out why they're saying what they're saying. You know, I'll give you a quick example. When anybody in the New Testament quotes a verse from the Psalms, they're quoting at least that section of the Psalm. They're just referring to it by the verse. Because everybody back then knew they had it memorized. So I could just say a verse from a chapter, and everybody would go, oh, well, I know that chapter. That's what this chapter is about. When Jesus says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Read that. That's a quote from Psalms. Read that whole chapter. The whole chapter is about Jesus' forsakenness on the cross. So when you're reading your Bibles, guys, look deeper. Get a study Bible that does cross references, and look and go to those verses. Go find those different places. It's all interconnected, and we see this clearly in the story of Nathanael. All right, so this is the story of Nathanael meeting Jesus. I want to talk for a second about this idea of a man in whom no deceit is found, to wrap this up. And I want to talk to you for a second about godly integrity. So Nathanael, he says, is a man of no deceit. And yet he said this thing. So let me ask you a question. How many times have you said something that as soon as it came out of your mouth, you're like, I cannot believe I just said that. That was horrible. Anybody do that? Anybody do that this week? Right? We've all said stuff. And Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that's devastating to me. Like when I say stupid stuff, that's my heart. I don't want my heart to be like that. That's the process of sanctification. That's the process of developing integrity. The Pharisees, so you have Nathanael, who on the inside is a man of no deceit, but on the outside says this terrible thing. And so there's a lack of integrity there that he had to grow into. In this time, the Pharisees were the opposite, right? They looked really good on the outside, but they were rotten in the core. Jesus calls them whitewashed tombs. You look good on the outside, but inside you're full of death. And godly integrity. So integrity is when your outward actions match your inward identity. But you can have integrity and still be evil, right? And your outward actions are evil, and your inward act and your inward identity is evil. And then you have integrity. Good for you. Godly integrity, though. Godly integrity is when our actions on the outside reflect our identity on the inside. Who are you? You're a child of the King. Who are you? You're a co-heir with Christ to the kingdom of God. Who are you? You're a man that God loved so much that he sent his only son to take the penalty for your sins. So if we're going to be men of godly integrity, yes, we're going to say stupid stuff sometimes. We're going to do things that we're like, I can't believe I just did that. But Jesus calls us to forgiveness and then calls us to be better, to become sanctified. If you turn to the end of John, we'll end here. Turn to the end of John. John 21, after this, John 21, verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself. So this is after the resurrection. This is after Thomas has seen him. Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, so he's there. Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, this is how we know Nathanael's from Cana. The sons of Zebedee, James and John, and two others of the disciples were together. And Peter said, I'm going fishing. And they said, well, we're coming too. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they saw nothing. And then later on, Jesus sees them and tells them to throw the nets out again, and they catch a bunch of fish, and Peter runs in, and John gives us this beautiful story of Peter being restored. But what I want to point out to you is that at the beginning of John, we meet Nathanael, and here he is at the end too. Nathanael was a faithful guy. He stuck with the disciples. He stuck with Jesus through 3 years. And I can only imagine during that 3 years of being around Jesus all the time, of sitting around campfires at night, of walking from town to town, of listening to Jesus teach the crowds, and then sitting with Jesus privately and listening to him teach privately as he opened up the scriptures. And he pointed out, he said, guys, see all this stuff in the Old Testament? It's me. I'm here. It's been the plan all along. And those guys also grew in wisdom and in godliness. And we see Nathanael here at the end. May we persevere the way that Nathanael did. May we grow into the integrity that God calls us to, so that our outward actions always, always match our inward identity as sons of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Nathanael, for his faithfulness, for his honesty, his rawness, Lord, his love of your scriptures. And Father, I pray that for us, that we would love your scriptures so that we would know you when we saw you, whether it was Genesis or Malachi, whether it was Matthew or Revelation, that we would know you when we see you in the scriptures, so that we can live into our identity, so that we can follow you and declare the good news to a world that needs it.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find the Man in the Mirror Bible Study wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as on our YouTube page. If you have found this helpful, please subscribe, give us a 5-star rating, and share the podcast with friends. Since 1986, Man in the Mirror has been teaching the Bible, helping us reflect deeply as men and apply God's truth to our lives. This Bible study is recorded in front of a live audience every Friday morning outside of Orlando, Florida. If you need help navigating your life or leading other men, please go to maninthemirror.org and check out our vast library of Bible study videos, blogs, and articles on Christian growth and leadership. There are plenty of resources you can use to grow in your faith and help others grow too. At maninthemirror.org, you will find books written just for men, helpful materials for your church's ministry to men, and even a potential career in men's discipleship. If you're a man personally struggling in life, or you need help in discipling men, please send us an email at BibleStudy@maninthemirror.org and let us know how we can help.